Thank you, fans, for just being so amazing at Madison Square Garden. You guys made this game just so awesome.
That could be any pro athlete addressing a crowd of adoring fans after the big game. But in this case, the game in question was the online game League of Legends. 11,000 people came to watch competitors battle it out live on a big screen at one of New York City's premier sports arenas. After this game, the pro player known as Zion Spartan would go on to the World Championships.
That's the first time that I can say that in my pro career that we're actually playing like a team. I think that we're the first team in NA that will actually make a difference at Worlds. I think we can actually win the whole thing.
With pro athletes and huge crowds, video games have become spectator sports. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on KCUR's Central Standard, we'll check in on the rise of gaming as a spectator sport here in Kansas City. It turns out we've got our own gaming fans and a handful of really promising players. Our guests can fill us in. Spencer Ahn, president of UMKC's Gamer Ruse Club, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much.
What's your organization all about?
Our organization is mostly about providing a community for people who previously have never had a real place to go before. And now it's becoming so prevalent that, you know, we can rent out a space or organize a space for all of us to just come and have fun and, you know, be who we really are and not have to be, you know, afraid of anything.
What would people have previously been afraid of?
There's a certain stigma to gamers just around the community, especially sometimes here in the Midwest. And you think of gamers, the average person would not think of your young college age male who actually attends college and, you know, is looking to do real things with their lives. That's who most of us are now.
Interesting. Well, we're going to come right back to you, but I also want to introduce Nick Engstrom of Game On KC. It's nice to meet you, Nick.
Hello. It's actually KC Game On, but that's cool.
Okay, KC Game On.
Yep.
What is KC Game On?
So KC Game On is an event that we are actually putting on in Kansas City right now. It happens every 2 months, and it's basically a place where any type of gaming can come in. So we cater to PC, board game, and consoles. Right now, we're basically averaging about 150 people per event.
150 people per event?
Yep.
Are they all actually playing the games?
They're all actually playing whatever game they choose. So, like I said, probably 100 of them are PC, a little bit more. And then we've got some people and folks that bring in their own board games and play those. And then people who bring in consoles like the Xbox and the PS4 and set those up on our projectors and whatnot and play there.
People bring board games too?
Absolutely.
So a game's a game as far as you're concerned.
Yep.
Well, so this might get back to some of the stereotypes that that Spencer was getting at before, but you'll have to forgive me that my experience with video games comes from being a kid and growing up in the age of Nintendo. And so my mental picture of people playing video games involves a person, maybe a few people, sitting in front of a screen with a console of some kind, but like, you know, at home without an audience. And you know, Nick, can you paint a picture of what's happening when big groups get together to both play these games and to watch them being played? Because I don't think I'm the only one who hasn't witnessed or experienced this.
Sure. Let's go back using your references. Nintendo growing up, one of my first things that I remember is playing Mario Kart with my brother and sister and other friends that would come over. That's kind of what we're doing that, but at a more advanced level. Obviously, Mario Kart could actually turn into a esports event as well, but mostly now we're looking at things that use different skills with characters and different objectives, basically to complete a task or to get the most points or just to clear the map.
When you say esports, how do you define that? That's a new phrase for some people.
So esports, I guess we should say e should mean electronic. It's basically any type of game that would use a machine or something to accomplish that objective. So consoles are also included, but a lot of the money right now we're seeing in the PC area.
Is there anything, Spencer, that you want to add about this whole experience of gaming as a spectator sport, I mean, of people coming together to do this sort of collectively, not just to play, but also to watch the games being played?
The biggest thing I want to say is that anyone who's looking to spectate any kind of esport shouldn't be afraid to. There's a lot of questions as to, like, you know, if I've never played this game before, how am I supposed to know what's going on when I'm watching this? And the big deal there is that it's just like any other sport. I compare League of Legends to soccer in that respect, where maybe you don't know what offsides is in soccer, but if you watch enough of the game, you'll start to learn everything about that sport.
Even if you're not an athlete.
Yeah.
So can you explain, just using League of Legends as an example, explain the premise of that game and sort of what's happening with it?
Basically, the most played game type is five people pit against five people. The objective is to make your way across the map and take the enemy's base as your objective. And a lot of things can obviously go right or wrong with five people on each team. So it becomes very much a strategic game of fast-paced chess, if you will.
Fast-paced chess. What does the person in the crowd get out of this experience? I mean, you said that people shouldn't be afraid to come and spectate. Can you explain what sort of the payoff is of that in that experience?
It's the same as the payoff for any other sport. You get to watch your favorite professional athletes. You get to cheer for them live. You get to be there in the excitement of the moment and see these things happen live. And not many people can say that they've been able to do that, honestly.
So do you notice that, like, different players have different kinds of strengths and strategies? And, you know, like, we recently won the World Series, and during that time, people really got to know the different players on the Royals. And you started having a sense of their personalities almost being expressed through their style of play. And when someone else got traded in, you'd know that things were going to change dramatically. Can you give us an example of when you've seen that sort of dynamic watching video games?
Well, absolutely. There's so many professional players that I could just rattle off and tell you my favorite thing about them. And it definitely reflects in their play style and how they're perceived in the community. One of my favorite players is known as Dyrus. Unfortunately, he quit. But
and he's local?
No.
Okay.
He's at the national level. He plays for a team called TSM, or played for them, I should say. And he's been one of my favorite players throughout the time that I've started the game. And Nick, I don't know if you've had any favorite players or anything, but...
You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. I don't have any particular favorite players. The way that I feel of it is, let's say, Kansas City versus an NBA team, right? So I don't have a particular NBA passion because we don't have that local presence here. So essentially, I like to watch a lot of NBA games, but I don't have any particular favorites, and that, I guess, would include the players as well.
And so that's the analogy you'd make to how you are with video gamers as well?
I would say, I mean, I definitely enjoy watching the esports competitions and whatnot, but I don't have any particular favorite now.
So, I mean, that brings me to the question, your analogy of the NBA has to do with the lack of a presence locally.
Right.
How big is the spectator gaming scene in Kansas City? And do we have a presence in the bigger scheme of things?
Yeah, so that's kind of a vision that we have for KC Game On right now, is we want to bring that presence to Kansas City and be able to have those huge events that potentially would fill up Sprint Center to have people view. Right now, we don't have a lot of that going on. Occasionally, to use League of Legends, Coke has recently bought in to the esports phenomenon and done a lot of sponsorship and whatnot.
So Coke is in Coca-Cola?
Yes, and... what they have done is worked through movie theaters and whatnot. So Cinemark, for example, held one of the world's viewing parties down there on the plaza. And the unfortunate thing is it was played live in Berlin, so it was 5:30 a.m. on October 31st.
Oh, my gosh.
Which didn't really work out for a lot of people. I
yeah.
was there, but there was not many people there. But that's part of the growth process, I guess, is – you know, this is something we would like to expand upon with KC Game On and kind of build that structure here in Kansas City.
What would you say about the local scene, Spencer?
I'd say that the local scene is really – it's growing at a steady rate, in part thanks to younger audiences, and also hugely in part to Casey Game On and the work that they're doing. We also have a lot of gaming cafes popping up around the Midwest, which has never been seen before. It's really interesting. Most of the gaming cafes in America are going to be, you know, around like the West Coast where where a lot of gamers really are condensed into one little area. So it's interesting to watch and be a part of this movement as a college student.
Yeah, what's your interpretation? I mean, I want to hear this from both of you, of how video games made this journey from something kids messed around with in their parents' basements to something that adults, as you said, adults with full productive lives engage in competitively in a pretty serious way.
So the biggest thing for me, what started, was watching StarCraft when I was in college. At the time, it's still mostly dominated by South Korea players, and it was fantastic. At the time, you could not watch in the same way that you could today. The possibilities weren't there for us, but to watch those guys play StarCraft and currently StarCraft II is just amazing. The amount of clicks and movement and hotkeys, and they're just all over the board, and to watch them play is it's fascinating.
So you see some like dexterity and skill that if you've even just had a little bit of experience with the game just kind of blows you away.
Yeah, definitely. By playing the game, it gives you a little bit of that insight and knowledge. And similar to like if you play basketball, you probably enjoy the game or watching the game more by knowing, oh, well, you should have taken that shot there, or, you know, oh, you should have taken a foul or something of that nature.
Spencer, what do you think, though, about this bigger question of how video games collectively made this journey?
I wouldn't say that there's any one way that it made a journey. You know, I could throw a crazy number of stats at you. Like in 2014, 32 million people tuned in to watch the League of Legends World Championship Series. It's amazing that... you know, I grew up with the Nintendo 64, which can have four controllers on it, and it's you and three other friends, and it's kind of amazing to think that from then till now, you can now have 32 million people watching something on a live stream for free, might I add, and the gap there is, it's incredible because we've taken this leap from four people in the same room playing one video game to 32 million people watching what we perceive to be one of the biggest championships in the world.
How did you originally get into video games?
I'm going to have to say that my brother actually got me into video games more than I ever would have on my own. And it was a huge influence on me growing up because, you know, it really is an art. There's an art to every single video game, and you kind of learn to appreciate every single one for its own uniqueness.
So is it different for you? Is the relationship that you have to these games different now that you're older? Can you talk to me about how the relationship with gaming evolved and matured for you?
Growing up, I mostly played video games on my own, and when I started to realize that there were a lot of people out there just like me, and were just, you know, people that you see every day walking down the street, in the gym, in class, you start to realize these things, and it takes a more social turn to it. I mean, Nick can speak for that too. You get 150 people at a Casey Game On event, that's a ton of people for just one event.
Yeah, that is a ton of people. Nick, how about you? I mean, did the experience and relationship evolve in a way for you as you became, you know, as you grew up?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, originally played a lot of games with my brother growing up as well. That led into playing the multiplayer games with my cousins and other people, friends and whatnot. And then, you know, when I started working in Kansas City, I started looking around and it was like, hey, we've got this Casey Game On is already going before I showed up. I jumped in there, started playing, and you get to see, you know, at the time it was only about 30 people, but there were people that, you know, all 30 of us would basically jump in the same game, first-person shooters, and just go to town. And
just go to town.
It was a ton of fun because you get the total social aspect that you're not going to get at home, where you have people yelling and screaming and around and just having a good time. You know, after the match is over, then everybody goes and talks about it, walks around, takes a little break, comes back, sit down, and then they do it again.
How does the team aspect of some of these competitive video games that are sort of conducted as spectator sports, how does the team aspect influence the play for the players?
I would think that it's, you know, again, I'll use basketball as an analogy. It's a 5-on-5. Typically what we're talking about are the focus that Spencer and I, I used to play League of Legends a lot. He continues to play League of Legends. That 5-on-5 mentality, basically, a lot of our guys, they have headphones. They're talking between each other. Figuring out you need to go here, come help me here, those types of things. And that same type of aspect is what you would see in basketball.
How does engaging in this stuff affect you in your life outside of the video game world? I mean, do the skills that you sort of hone and practice in one arena affect your life beyond that?
It does in the aspect, I would say socially, it allows me to get to know more people. Than not just the little circle of friends that I normally play with, which it, you know, allows me to make networking connections with other people to essentially bring me to an interview like this.
So what do you guys think? I mean, we've talked about maybe that Kansas City has some gaps in terms of just a presence in the larger gaming world. But what does Kansas City have any particular strengths as a community?
As a community, I'd have to say we are one of the friendliest around, and that makes a really good environment for gamers, and not just competitive or recreational social gaming, but for both, because I can tell you right now that I'm currently in a collegiate tournament right now, and being able to play out of Kansas City and represent the city from my own college is really one of the most amazing feelings I can never think of. On the other aspect of it, you know, every time someone from Kansas City hops online, they're kind of representing their city too. So it's kind of cool to be able to show off how great of a city we are, you know, directly to people from other parts of the nation or the world.
What does Kansas City need to have? I mean, what does Kansas City need to offer if it wants to take gaming to the next level locally?
The next level is to get, honestly, local big corporate businesses in on the deal. And we've seen this in California. We've seen this, you know, Madison Square Garden was rented out. That's a big deal. So to get these big companies to start to realize that this is something that matters to people, that's going to be our next big step.
Nick Engstrom, what is your personal gaming goal for 2016?
Continued success for our events, basically to keep adding people, to keep socializing, and to basically keep a good thing going. To Spencer's point, and going back and getting those larger corporate sponsors and people of that nature, I wanted to point out that we would like to see that happen. That's the only way that we're going to end up getting Sprint Center in Kansas City. I've got to be able to reach out to these companies and say, hey, we'd like to bring your folks in from your company to play against all these other companies, similar to a corporate challenge. So that's kind of a thing that I'm going to try to look into this next year.
And Spencer, what's your personal gaming goal for 2016?
My personal gaming goal is to continue to lead my club in a direction that to where it can expand and yet still have everyone feel welcome. I love providing a place for people to come and enjoy themselves, and that is the most important thing.
Spencer, Nick, it's been so great having you here and learning about the spectator gaming scene in Kansas City. Stay in touch, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
When KCUR's Central Standard returns, we'll be exploring dark matter. Yikes. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay tuned.